Have you ever wondered how psychiatrists make sense of the complex landscape of mental health disorders? DSM-5, insanely simplified by Dr. Steven Buser, offers a refreshingly accessible approach to understanding the often intimidating Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, DSM-5. This groundbreaking work has become a staple resource for mental health professionals worldwide, praised for its innovative spectrum approach that reimagines psychiatric disorders not as discrete conditions but as points along continuums of human experience. The book has gained particular popularity among psychiatric residents and therapists in training, who appreciate its ability to transform dense clinical criteria into intuitive, memorable frameworks without sacrificing clinical accuracy. The cornerstone of Buser's approach is his revolutionary framework of 8 primary psychiatric spectrums, each representing a fundamental dimension of human experience. Rather than viewing mental disorders as discrete entities that you either have or don't have, Buser invites us to see them as extremes on continuums where everyone exists somewhere along each spectrum. Consider depression. Instead of asking, "Do you have depression or not?" Buser reframes the question as, "Where do you fall on the spectrum between emotional shallowness and overwhelming despair?" This perspective fundamentally transforms our understanding of mental health by acknowledging that we all experience these dimensions to varying degrees. The 8 primary spectrums include depression, shallowness versus despair, mania, boring versus bipolar, anxiety, carelessness versus anxiousness, psychosis, visionless versus psychotic, focus, attention deficit versus obsessive compulsive, substance use, ascetic versus addicted, autism, codependent versus autistic, and personality, neurotic versus obnoxious. What makes this approach so powerful is that it destigmatizes mental illness by recognizing that everyone exists somewhere on these spectrums. The healthiest functioning typically occurs in the middle ranges, where we maintain balance between opposing extremes. Problems emerge when we drift too far toward either pole. The depression spectrum spans from emotional shallowness on one end to overwhelming despair on the other. At the shallow extreme, individuals lack emotional depth, demonstrate limited introspection, and struggle to learn from mistakes. At the opposite pole, people experience paralyzing sadness, endless rumination, and profound hopelessness that can lead to suicidal thoughts. DSM-5 introduces significant changes to depressive disorders, most notably replacing dysthymic disorder with persistent depressive disorder, which emphasizes chronicity over severity. This change acknowledges that for many patients, depression's persistence causes more impairment than its intensity at any given moment. The manual also introduces 2 new diagnoses: premenstrual dysphoric disorder, severe mood symptoms occurring in the week before menstruation, and disruptive mood dysregulation disorder, severe childhood irritability with frequent outbursts. The optimal middle ground on this spectrum allows for emotional depth without being overwhelmed. As the poet Rumi beautifully expressed, "The wound is the place where the light enters you." This balanced position enables us to process life's sorrows into meaningful growth without becoming engulfed by them. We can feel deeply without drowning in emotion, using introspection as a tool for growth rather than a pathway to paralysis. Consider how this perspective transforms our approach to depression treatment. Rather than simply eliminating symptoms, the goal becomes helping patients find that middle ground where they can experience emotional depth without being consumed by it, where sorrow informs but doesn't dominate their lives. The mania spectrum ranges from boring lifelessness at one extreme to chaotic, grandiose mania at the other. DSM-5 emphasizes increased energy and activity as core criteria for bipolar disorder, recognizing that mood changes alone aren't sufficient for diagnosis. This spectrum conceptualizes everyone as existing somewhere between 0 bipolarity, lacking energy, creativity, and excitement, and 100 bipolarity, racing thoughts, dangerous impulsivity, and grandiose delusions. The healthy middle ground represents sustainable energy and creativity, enthusiasm for life without destructive extremes. Consider Gloria, a talented artist whose mild hypomania fueled her creativity but occasionally escalated to full mania with dangerous spending sprees and sleepless nights. Through mood-stabilizing medication and therapy, she found a balance that preserved her creative energy while preventing destructive episodes. She didn't need to sacrifice her artistic gifts to achieve stability. She simply needed to modulate her position on the spectrum. This approach helps patients understand that treatment isn't about suppressing their unique personality, but about finding sustainable balance. The goal isn't to eliminate all traces of bipolarity, but to harness its creative potential while avoiding its destructive extremes. The anxiety spectrum pivots on the concept of vigilance, with carelessness at one extreme and paralyzing anxiety at the other. Too little vigilance leads to recklessness and poor risk assessment, while excessive vigilance produces debilitating fear and hypervigilance that prevents normal functioning. DSM-5 has reorganized anxiety disorders, moving OCD to its own category and relocating PTSD to trauma-related disorders. Despite these organizational changes, the spectrum concept remains invaluable for understanding anxiety's role in human experience. The ideal balance allows appropriate caution without sacrificing enjoyment of life, like someone driving a convertible with the top down, carefully but pleasurably. Anxiety serves as a vital warning system for potential dangers, but when distorted, it creates a vicious cycle of anxiety, selective perception, and increased anxiety that interferes with living. A patient with panic disorder described her experience as feeling like I'm dying. My heart races, I can't breathe, and I'm convinced this is the end. After medical causes were ruled out, she began cognitive behavioral therapy combined with low-dose antidepressants. Treatment focused not on eliminating all anxiety, but on restoring it to its proper function as a warning system rather than a constant alarm. This spectrum approach helps patients understand that the goal isn't becoming anxiety-free, but developing a healthy relationship with vigilance, being appropriately cautious without letting fear dominate their lives. While psychosis might seem the most difficult psychiatric spectrum to connect with normal experience, reframing the question from "how psychotic are you?" to "how strong are your dreams and visions?" reveals the continuum. Everyone experiences moments of inspiration, powerful dreams, or meaningful spiritual experiences that temporarily disconnect us from consensus reality. Artists often describe channeling their work rather than creating it. These normal experiences exist on the same spectrum as psychotic hallucinations and delusions, differing primarily in intensity, persistence, and the degree to which they disrupt reality testing. DSM-5 has eliminated the 5 subtypes of schizophrenia while requiring at least one positive symptom, hallucinations, delusions, or disorganized speech, for diagnosis. The optimal middle ground between being visionless, lacking imagination and inspiration, and psychotic, overwhelmed by hallucinations and delusions, is where visionaries like Martin Luther King Jr. and Gandhi operate, inspired but grounded. This perspective offers dignity to those experiencing psychosis by recognizing their experiences as extreme manifestations of universal human capacities, rather than alien phenomena. It also suggests that treatment should aim not to eliminate all visionary experience, but to help patients integrate these experiences in ways that enrich rather than disrupt their lives. Though ADHD and OCD appear in different sections of DSM-5, Boozer ingeniously connects them as opposite ends of an attentional focus spectrum. ADHD represents insufficient focus. Individuals cannot maintain attention on tasks, are easily distracted, and jump between projects. OCD represents excessive focus. Individuals become locked into obsessive patterns, unable to shift attention from repetitive thoughts or behaviors. Consider Pete, who exemplifies the excessive focus end of the spectrum. always orderly and high-achieving, his perfectionism intensified over time. His morning routines grew increasingly rigid, hand-washing became excessive, and he developed elaborate cleaning rituals. After his mother's illness, his symptoms worsened, calling her repeatedly to check on her breathing, developing magical thinking about prayer, and washing his hands until they became raw. Treatment with sertraline and SSRI and cognitive behavioral therapy helped loosen his excessive focus while preserving his beneficial attention to detail at work. The goal wasn't to eliminate his conscientious nature, but to restore flexibility to his attentional system. The healthy middle ground allows for sustained attention when needed while maintaining flexibility to shift focus appropriately. This balanced position enables both deep concentration and adaptable thinking, the ability to focus intensely on important tasks while remaining responsive to changing circumstances. The substance use spectrum represents a continuum from complete abstinence, asceticism, to uncontrolled addiction, with most individuals falling somewhere between these extremes. The DSM-5's revolutionary approach eliminates the previously rigid distinction between substance abuse and substance dependence, instead adopting a more nuanced spectrum model. Under this framework, substance use disorders are classified as mild, 2 to 3 symptoms, moderate, 4 to 5 symptoms, or severe, 6+ symptoms, acknowledging the complex gradations of problematic substance use. This spectrum approach reflects mounting evidence that addiction develops gradually, often beginning with recreational use that slowly escalates. Key diagnostic criteria include increasing tolerance, withdrawal symptoms, using larger amounts than intended, unsuccessful attempts to cut down, spending excessive time obtaining or recovering from substances, and continued use despite physical or psychological problems. The DSM-5's inclusion of gambling disorder along substance addictions marks a significant shift in understanding behavioral addictions. This recognition stems from research showing remarkable similarities in brain activation patterns, genetic vulnerabilities, and behavioral manifestations. Like substance addictions, gambling can trigger dopamine release, create withdrawal-like symptoms, and lead to escalating engagement despite severe consequences to relationships, work, and financial stability. The concept of a healthy middle ground, what clinicians often call controlled pleasure, represents optimal functioning on this spectrum. This balanced position allows individuals to enjoy substances or activities mindfully while maintaining clear boundaries and priorities. Examples include having occasional drinks with friends while respecting personal limits or enjoying desserts without binge eating. This approach emphasizes the difference between enhancement and escape-seeking behaviors. Treatment strategies necessarily vary based on an individual's position on the spectrum and their unique circumstances. For those experiencing severe addiction, complete abstinence often proves necessary, as exemplified by traditional 12-step programs. Others with milder issues might succeed with moderation management approaches, learning to set limits while continuing controlled use. Harm reduction strategies can help those unwilling or unable to achieve abstinence, focusing on minimizing negative consequences rather than demanding immediate cessation. Modern treatment programs increasingly recognize this nuanced reality, offering personalized interventions that might combine behavioral therapy, medication-assisted treatment, support groups, and lifestyle modifications. The spectrum model encourages clinicians to meet clients where they are, adjusting treatment goals and methods based on individual needs, circumstances, and readiness for change. DSM-5 consolidates autism, Asperger's, childhood disintegrative disorder, and pervasive developmental disorder NAS into a single diagnostic category, autism spectrum disorder. This significant diagnostic shift sparked intense controversy, particularly regarding the elimination of Asperger's syndrome as a separate diagnosis, which many felt carried less stigma than autism. Many individuals who identified strongly with the Asperger's diagnosis worried that being labeled with ASD might lead to increased discrimination or misunderstanding of their specific challenges and strengths. Busser's innovative approach positions autism as one end of a connectedness spectrum, with codependence at the opposite extreme. This framework fundamentally reframes the traditional medical model of autism. The question becomes not, do you have autism, but how interpersonally connected are you? Too much connectedness results in over-enmeshment and codependency with impaired boundaries. Individuals lose their sense of self in relationships, constantly prioritizing others' needs over their own. At the other extreme, individuals cannot connect with others at all, creating a profound sense of isolation that can limit their ability to navigate social worlds and access support systems. The optimal middle region demonstrates capacity for connection and interdependence without excessive enmeshment, what Buddhist teacher Thich Nhat Hanh calls interbeing. This balanced position enables both meaningful relationships and healthy autonomy, connection without fusion. People in this space can maintain strong relationships while preserving their individual identity, interests, and boundaries. They can say both yes and no authentically, collaborate without losing themselves, and maintain relationships that enhance rather than diminish their sense of self. This perspective transforms how we understand autism interventions. Rather than viewing autism as a defect to be fixed, we can appreciate the unique perspective it offers while helping individuals develop connection skills that enhance their lives without demanding conformity to neurotypical standards. This approach honors neurodiversity while acknowledging that most humans benefit from some degree of social connection. Interventions can focus on helping individuals find their own comfortable level of social engagement rather than trying to force them into predetermined social norms. The spectrum model also helps us understand that different levels of connection may be appropriate in different contexts and life stages. Someone might need more connection in certain situations or relationships while requiring more independence in others. This flexibility allows for a more nuanced and individualized approach to supporting autistic individuals in finding their optimal balance between connection and autonomy. The final spectrum examines personality functioning, ranging from neurotic self-blame to obnoxious other-blame. People with personality disorders tend toward the latter extreme, immediately locating the source of problems outside themselves, external locus of control. This pattern manifests in various ways, from the paranoid individual who suspects others of malicious intent to the narcissist who believes others are jealous or incompetent when faced with challenges. In contrast, the neurotic end features individuals who ascribe excessive blame to themselves, often shouldering responsibility for circumstances beyond their control. These people might apologize constantly, ruminate over minor mistakes, or assume they're at fault for others' moods and behaviors. This excessive self-blame can lead to depression, anxiety, and patterns of victimization. DSM-5 maintains all 10 personality disorders from DSM-4 while eliminating the multiaxial diagnostic system. The fundamental feature of personality disorders is the tendency to externalize blame or causation for symptoms, with rigid and inflexible approaches to living and relating to others. This inflexibility appears across various domains: emotional regulation, interpersonal relationships, impulse control, and problem-solving strategies. The balanced middle region represents a person who accepts appropriate responsibility without exaggerated self-reproach while recognizing when others share responsibility. This middle ground demonstrates adaptability and flexibility in facing life's challenges. Such individuals can acknowledge their mistakes without shame, learn from experience, and maintain healthy boundaries while respecting others' autonomy. This spectrum helps us understand why personality disorders are notoriously difficult to treat. The very nature of the condition involves inability to recognize one's contribution to problems. When someone consistently attributes difficulties to external factors, they see little reason to change their own behavior or perspective. Treatment must focus on gradually developing insight into personal responsibility while building more flexible coping strategies. This often requires long-term therapy that emphasizes building trust and safety before challenging rigid belief systems. Successful treatment typically involves small, incremental steps toward greater self-awareness and accountability. Therapists must carefully balance validation of the client's experience with gentle challenges to their attributional style. Group therapy can be particularly effective as it provides immediate feedback about interpersonal patterns while offering opportunities to practice new ways of relating to others. While the eight primary spectrums cover much of human psychological functioning, DSM-5 includes several specialty areas that require distinct diagnostic frameworks. These specialty domains address unique aspects of mental health that often involve complex interactions between biological, psychological, and social factors. Trauma and stressor-related disorders encompass conditions like PTSD, acute stress disorder, and adjustment disorders. These conditions reflect how individuals process and adapt to traumatic or stressful experiences, ranging from combat exposure to natural disasters to personal loss. The severity can vary from mild adjustment difficulties to severe, chronic PTSD with persistent flashbacks, hypervigilance, and avoidance behaviors. Neurodevelopmental disorders include conditions that typically manifest early in development, such as autism spectrum disorder, ADHD, and specific learning disorders. A significant change in DSM-5 was replacing the outdated term mental retardation with intellectual developmental disorder, reflecting a more respectful and accurate description of cognitive differences. The introduction of mild and major neurocognitive disorders represents a spectrum approach to cognitive impairment, acknowledging that cognitive decline exists on a continuum rather than discrete categories. This framework helps clinicians better track progression and implement appropriate interventions at different stages. Other specialty areas include dissociative disorders, ranging from mild depersonalization to severe identity fragmentation. Somatic symptom disorders, where physical symptoms cause significant psychological distress. And feeding and eating disorders, encompassing conditions from selective eating to life-threatening anorexia nervosa. Sleep-wake disorders received expanded attention in DSM-5, recognizing the crucial role of sleep in mental health, and including conditions like insomnia disorder, hypersomnolence, and circadian rhythm sleep disorders. Gender dysphoria replaced the previous gender identity disorder, shifting focus from identity itself to the distress that may arise from gender incongruence, a change reflecting evolving understanding and reduced stigmatization. Sexual dysfunctions and paraphilic disorders remain distinct categories, though diagnostic criteria have been refined to better distinguish between typical variation and clinically significant impairment. These conditions are evaluated based on their impact on individual functioning and potential harm rather than societal norms alone. While these specialty areas don't fit neatly into the eight primary spectrums, many can be conceptualized along similar continuums. Trauma responses, for instance, might range from emotional numbness to hyperreactivity, with adaptive processing in the middle. Eating behaviors can be viewed on a spectrum from severe restriction to compulsive overeating. This dimensional approach helps clinicians better understand symptom patterns and plan appropriate interventions. Busser concludes with a powerful visual metaphor, a lotus flower mandala illustrating the eight primary spectrums radiating from a central point. This center represents the optimal middle range of each spectrum, the sweet spot we strive for in mental health. When we optimize each spectrum and find ourselves in the center, we achieve balance, flexibility, and adaptability, represented by a person peacefully meditating in the central space. This center point goes by many names: being present in the moment, living in the now, staying aware, being in flow, or being in the zone. The ultimate goal transcends merely finding balance on each individual spectrum. It involves holding opposite poles in tension while embracing something entirely new that preserves the qualities of both elements, what Carl Jung called the transcendent function. This state of consciousness offers complete freedom to respond authentically to each moment, beyond the constraints of rigid patterns. Busser acknowledges the Jungian influence on his approach, particularly Jung's concept that the confrontation of two positions generates tension charged with energy and creates a living third thing, a movement out of suspension between opposites, a living birth that leads to a new level of being. DSM-5, insanely simplified, offers far more than a simplified guide to diagnostic criteria. It presents a revolutionary framework for understanding mental health that transcends the limitations of categorical diagnosis. By viewing psychological functioning along spectrums rather than as discrete disorders, Busser bridges the gap between clinical precision and human experience. This spectrum-based approach allows for more nuanced understanding of how symptoms manifest differently across individuals and how they may shift over time. The traditional categorical system, while useful for insurance and medical documentation, often fails to capture the fluid nature of mental health experiences. Busser's framework acknowledges that symptoms rarely fit perfectly into discrete boxes. Instead, they often overlap and exist in varying intensities. For example, anxiety and depression frequently co-occur, with symptoms blending and influencing each other in complex ways that defy simple categorization. This approach destigmatizes mental illness by recognizing that we all exist somewhere on these spectrums. Rather than viewing mental health conditions as abnormalities that affect only certain individuals, it presents them as variations in human experience that touch everyone to different degrees. Someone might experience mild social anxiety in specific situations, while another faces more pervasive challenges, but both exist on the same continuum of social comfort and distress. The spectrum model acknowledges that optimal functioning typically involves balance rather than extremes. Traits that might be problematic in excess can be beneficial in moderation. Perfectionism, for instance, can drive achievement when balanced, but lead to paralysis when extreme. Similarly, sensitivity can enhance empathy and creativity, while potentially increasing vulnerability to emotional overwhelm. Perhaps most importantly, this framework offers hope by suggesting that mental health treatment isn't about eliminating parts of ourselves, but about finding harmony among our diverse psychological tendencies. It emphasizes adaptation and integration rather than cure, helping individuals understand and work with their natural tendencies rather than against them. As mental health care continues to evolve, Busser's spectrum approach offers a compelling vision for the future, one that honors both scientific precision and human complexity. This model aligns with emerging research in neuroscience and genetics, which increasingly suggest that mental health variations exist on continuums rather than as discrete categories. It provides a framework that can accommodate both traditional clinical approaches and newer modalities like mindfulness-based interventions. By reimagining how we classify mental disorders, Busser invites us to reconsider our understanding of mental health itself, not as a binary state of wellness versus illness, but as a dynamic interplay of various psychological dimensions that we all navigate throughout our lives. This perspective promotes greater self-understanding and compassion while maintaining the rigor necessary for effective clinical practice.